you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
All right, welcome to another edition of Run and Plays podcast. I'm Logan Murdoch. I'm here with Kareth Burke and a special guest from my favorite team, the LA Sparks, Janae Agunwoke. What's popping, Janae? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Glad to join. Just here in Houston, Texas, quarantined with my little sisters, making up for lost time. All good.
It's time. How are you doing through this time? Because at this point, you usually are getting ready to prep to either be in LA or prep for the WNBA season. How are you doing during this coronavirus time?
I am, you know, it's really a tough time for a lot of people, especially in our NBA family. First, I want to extend my condolences to Karl Anthony Towns and his family. I think this, you know, my dad has always said this thing. Every disappointment is a blessing in disguise if you allow it to be. Meaning, there are a lot of disappointments. It's tough to be without sports. It's tough to be without family. It's tough to just exist now. But the blessing in disguise is that I've been able to be home with my family, something I haven't done outside of my injury since I graduated high school. And so just catching up with my sisters, just trying to keep our spirits positive, watch out for my parents who always want to be doing the most and sort of trying to put them, you know, on lock. It just has been a unique time, but like I always say, it's been good to reset. It's been good to recover, to reevaluate all the reasons, like just to get the mind, body, and spirit right.
How are your days now? I see you on TikTok with Erica and Naga. How are you having family time, but also staying in shape, considering that you guys don't know when you guys are coming back?
Yeah, it's been really strange. I'm on the WNBPA, the Players Association for the WNBA, and our union has been getting as much information as possible, following the league's guidance, following society's guidance, which is even more important. And so I think we've just tried to find ways to be creative, you know? Like, we know we should technically in 10 days or so be starting training camp, which officially was postponed. But how do we stay ready? You know, like, what's the phrase? Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Well, it's been really hard doing that without a hoop. Right. You know, yeah. This right here is our front living room. This is also my workout gym. So, like, we've cleared, like, I moved the carpet out. We've cleared out the space. I have yoga mats here, TRX bands, all that type of stuff. So I just do my body movements and all that stuff just to try to feel like I'm getting ready and geared up for the season, because we never know when our number is going to be called. But still, I'm not going to lie, it's hard because, like, for me, not going and playing overseas, I would love this time right now, 2 months leading into training camp, to be grinding on the court. And to not have a court, I'm not balling. Like, you know, we don't be balling like all them LeBrons and all those people that have courts in their crib. Yeah. I'm talking about indoor courts, not outdoor courts.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the hardest part, not being able to do what we normally do. But at the same time, we understand that, like, we have the opportunity to be fans of the real people that matter. Like, a lot of people consider, like, athletes and all the celebrities, whatever, to be heroes. Well, we are really seeing right now who the real heroes are. The trash men or women, the nurses, the hospital workers, the grocery store clerks. Like, being fans of those people to me has been, like, my activity.
And that's interesting because you're naming a group of people, like, the workers, the people who are sort of on the bottom rung of, like, society economically too. And they're showing how essential they are.
Okay.
I just find that interesting. And hey, we're talking to you on a morning where there was some blockbuster WNBA news. You got Tina Charles leaving the Liberty to go play for the Mystics, the defending champs. And I'm paraphrasing here because this was a three-way trade, but now the Liberty have 6 picks. And they just got Taylor Hill. Like, yeah. When the draft comes on Friday, What is a team with 6 picks going to do? That's going to lead to a roster crunch. Do you feel like this could be a really exciting, even explosive
draft? Yeah, if I'm the New York Liberty, you know, it's funny because it reminds me of my draft day because Tina Charles got traded. They announced her trade on my draft day. She went to New York, left Connecticut, went to New York, and then I went to Connecticut. And it's kind of interesting considering another fellow Pac-12er is probably going to be number one pick, will be in the number one pick. And so I guess she will probably go through the same experience I did in the sense that I went through a team that went through an overhaul. We had we stole picks from, like number 3 or 4, number 8. And then you also try to use some of those picks and leverage those to get like a good solid vet that will be a good voice in the locker room for those young players. So I can see that same thing happening. The New York Liberty had struggled the last few years, and now they have an opportunity to truly press reset with getting the number one pick, getting all those other picks to possibly get maybe a seasoned vet to help guide them through the daily machinations of the WNBA, but then also just to rebuild young. So it's just really funny how like the world cycles through, because I know Sabrina's probably going to go through it on the court because their team is going to be young, even though like it might be tough in the beginning. 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, that's when you start seeing that cohesion build. You never know, anything can happen in the W. Those young players can just be like, shoot out the gun. But I think it's huge. And then on the other end, Tina Charles, like people probably don't know that, like people that don't follow the WNBA, Coach Tebow was her coach in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So for him to acquire Tina, that's a place where she will fully be welcome, accepted, and buy in. And that 1-2, like 4-5 punch of Deladon and Tina at the 4 and 5, about to be crazy. But the Spurs got a nice little 4-5 punch over here and the bench squad lit, you know, so like we ready for it as well.
What do you think about getting Simone Augustus? She left the Lynx. I mean, and she came out west, and it's like, what kind of role will she play? Like, what do you think about the strengths of your team this season and just maybe all of the changes that the W saw this season?
Yeah, the reason why I really was excited to come to Los Angeles was not only to be reunited with my big sis, but also to be surrounded by winners, like proven winners, champions in their craft. And now there are so many champions all over our roster that I feel like we have no choice but to win and to achieve and to do our job on the court. I mean, my sister, Candace Parkish, Chelsea Gray, all won a championship together. Chrissy Tolliver, one with them and one with the Mystic Simone, one with the Lynx. Like, come on now. Like, that's experience, and that's what I want to be surrounded by. So for me, the more the merrier when it comes to people that have won championships, because guess what? That's all they want to do. Like, they want to have that same feeling again. And so I'm all on board with anybody that wants to compete at the highest level and can teach me those ways, because I want to be one of them.
Mm-hmm. Logan truly loves the Sparks. I know he's got questions.
You know, I don't know about that, really, honestly, because I haven't seen him at a game. I haven't seen him rocking Sparks here. So I guess I'll believe it when I see it.
Ooh. She's definitely lying, because I have texted her gear that I've worn in public, in traffic. Actually, the last time we were at a Warriors practice, I was wearing Sparks gear. I was putting on for the set. I was out here in these streets repping. So it is disappointing to hear that.
That was pre-quarantine. My pre-quarantine.
Wow. Speaking of the Sparks, how do you guys have so much talent. How do you guys build on last year where you guys lose early in the postseason? How do you, whenever the next year goes, how do you keep the pieces together and compete for a title going into next season?
Well, you guys know, following a championship squad, a team that's like been able to be successful at the highest level continually, the Warriors, how hard it is to get there and to stay there.
Yeah.
And for us, a lot of people came in. This is what happens in the WNBA. People will be dropping in for the playoffs and thinking that's the way the whole season went. We had a first-year coach. I was my first, a lot of first year on the team, like new core. It was a huge transitional year for so many different people. So I think when you look at the summation of our entire season, we did that. Like, we had the best record in the West. We made it to the semifinals. And you know how those playoffs go. Like, your weaknesses get exposed. And I think so many parts of that, the challenges of being that first year together, newly coached team, were exposed at the highest levels. So people saw that in games 1, 2, and 3 in the semifinals, but they didn't see our successes. Like Candace Parker doing Candace Parker things, NECA doing NECA things, Chelsea Gray being a phenomenal passer, myself slowly acclimating, like people didn't see that. They saw the headlines at the end. So I think we're building on the day-to-day of like you know, from training camp into the playoffs. And when the playoffs, we will have a blank slate. And I think people will come out hungry to let people know, like, that wasn't who we are, you know?
Yeah. Well, when the WNBA does come back, we don't know a date on that, obviously, going forward. The virus makes its own timeline. But if it does come back late enough, how does that affect players that want to go overseas and get bread overseas, and or players that live overseas come in here? How are you guys, you know, mitigating that?
Look, at this point, I ain't got the answers, Sway. Like, none of us got the answers.
All right.
But I do know that when we are able to play, when we are able to hit the court again, I think it'll only be in a scenario where we feel like the best product will be available and also player health and safety will be ensured. And that's why it requires creativity. That's why you're hearing maybe one centralized location, all the players, you know, playing in this one place, and then, you know, frequent testing. Like, I feel like that model will probably be the best way if it happens. But it's really challenging. The only reason I am really optimistic about it all is just because our factors are smaller than the NBA's factors. We only have 12 teams, 12 roster spots per team. So it's less amount of people that you have to control and see versus 30 teams, 15 players per roster. Plus you can add the two ways up to 17. Y'all got too many personnel and staff, homies, clingers, friends, all up in there. Like, so I feel like for us, our sample size would work to our advantage. But at the same time, I do think that, like, something bigger is happening in society. So if we can find ways to be creative, to make waves to the W, if we're unable to do so either, like, I think we're willing to do whatever it takes. But I think safety is number one. Those international players need to feel safe traveling, and they need to feel safe, you know, when they arrive. And like, the, even though we have better factors in control, we have difficult factors in the sense that, like, if we were to season, we don't fly private, you know, we don't fly private charters. We stay in different hotels. Our standards are way different. So, like, even one thing helps us, other things hurt us. So I think it's just about, you know, I always tell people, we just got to be patient. We got to be persistent, and we got to stay ready, because when our number is called, hopefully we will be able to give people, you know, a little sense of joy that sports can. The WNBA, like, literally wants to be that league that comes back and is able to fill that void. And so I think if it is possible, we'll do it. But at the same time, like, there are things happening that are bigger than sports, and we just want to make sure we respect that as well.
Hey, business owners. So defense might not win championships anymore, but when it comes to protecting your business, your defense better be the best. That's why the team at Bay Alarm brings their best every day. They're on duty 24/7, 365, no matter what, putting burglars out of business. Just like they've been doing for over 70 years. It's one more way Bay Alarm puts the pro in protection. So visit BayAlarm.com and get protected today. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Bay Alarm. What have you got to lose?
We want the WNBA to come back, and I hear it. You play there. Like, of course you want it to come back too, once it's safe to do so. But also, what about for the momentum that the W had, or women's sports at large? I feel like I saw more social media talk in the positive way. I saw, like, more recognition, more respect. Like, it almost feels like it was at this awesome explosion point, building on, like, the track it was already on. And then this pause came along. And I feel like this is going to impact women's sports differently, like, to a more severe degree than men's sports. Are you sensing any of that as far as the momentum that you guys had and maybe the way that this will impact women's sports in particular?
Yeah, I think that's our vulnerability. Like, that's our doubt in our head as women that, like, oh my gosh, like, everything can be taken away at one time. But at the same time, I'm sort of like, we ain't going nowhere for years and years. 23, 24 years, the WNBA has had haters, people that really don't understand the game and aren't willing to make a bet on us. Well, guess what? We just signed a new CBA. We're the highest of the high. The NBA, it's NBA arms, like our guys, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, you know, all those guys. Steph Curry is a tremendous advocate for women. These guys are really investing in women, betting on women, the league in general. So even though we are worried about, like, not existing during this time and not building on that same momentum, we're here to stay, because guess what? One of the best things that has happened to women's sports, at least in our league, is the fact that we ratified our CBA before all this went down. We ratified and our CBA, you know, mid-January. So now that ensures up to potentially 8 years of the WNBA. Like, to me, that's a major win, because if we were still in that gridlock where, okay, they don't understand where we're coming from, they need to bet on us, they need to invest on us, marketing people need to come through, we wouldn't have signed that deal. And then all of a sudden, our situation would look even scarier. So yeah. I think right now we just are in a good place knowing that, hey, our league is secure. When we get back, guess what? Women get this. They get paid and compensated their true value, or at least we're moving towards that. Guess what? If you are pregnant, you know, you get full paid maternity leave. We have mental health resources. There's so many different facets that now give us that security blanket, so that when those questions do creep up in our head, we're like, all right, like, we don't have to worry anymore, because society is finally moving in a place where they understand and respect and value and invest in women.
Bet on women. Women are survivors. In your career, you have been a survivor too, whether it's the injuries that you had, or, like, I just think about charmed or lucky or blessed or whatever you want to say, like, situations where, okay, you play for the Sparks, you could also walk across the street from your broadcasting career with ESPN. Okay, you play in Connecticut, that's next to Bristol, ESPN. And I know you do stuff for Spectrum as well. What do you think about the ways, as you have, like, these two concurrent careers, broadcasting and professional athlete, which, by the way, is very hard to do, congratulations. What do you think about the way it has been charmed or backed up by your hard work, but do you feel like this is your destiny in some kind of way? Like, if there's ever any uncertainty in your life, you will be at the right place when you're supposed to be there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, Kareth. I am 100% in stride with you. So, like, I think the hardest thing for me was, you don't realize when you're in the lowest of lows what is coming for you, like, what blessing is coming next. And so I had two major injuries, right knee microfracture, left Achilles injury. And during that time, when I was in the lowest of lows, I really am grateful that I was surrounded by people that, like, helped me get through it, my family, my friends, but also most importantly that I stayed positive. Because you never know what that positivity and that ability to just say, like, I'm gonna push through, I'm gonna say yes, I can do this, can bring you. Because I always tell people, like, you know, it was fortuitous for me to be in Connecticut, and then my team goes while I'm recovering and rehabbing, and now they knock on my door and say, hey, can you hop on TV and do this? You know, like, it's like, oh, okay, I'll try it. And then just keep saying yes, knowing that there's a bigger thing potentially looming, even though, like, I'm ball is life, you know? So the second time I got injured, I was faced with that same challenge. But then I think I knew, because of the previous time, I was like, guess what? At some point, I'm going to stop playing. And when that happens, you know, we're not like NBA players where we can get generational wealth off of one contract, right? When I stop playing, what's going to happen? I better, you know, I don't like to say exactly what Tamika Catching says, but she told me the first day I was drafted, she told me something super real. But basically she said, basketball is not forever. It will give you a platform. It's on to you how you use it. And so I was like, you know what? If I'm injured twice and I'm really in this tough situation where I'm relearning to walk, relearning to run, relearning the things I've been doing since I was 10 years old, and it is hard, I'm not going to take this for granted ever again, and I'm going to try to make the most of these opportunities. So the second time I got injured, I remember, like, clear as day, the way I'd wake up in the mornings, I'd watch the news, and then I'd watch First Take, and I'd always joke, and I'd be like, man, that boy Stephen A, crazy boy, he always trying people, not knowing that by saying yes through seizing the day, that carpe diem mentality, 2 years later, I'd be on First Take debating Stephen A. Destiny comes in, you know what I mean? Like, just staying positive, it's sort of like you manifest who you want to be and where you want to be. And I think it's all started just by my identity. I'm Nigerian American, I'm a female, and I'm an athlete, and I'm a nerd. Nigerian American, one of my jobs I worked with Sports Center Africa. I go back to Nigeria all the time to try to uplift those girls because they operate in a patriarchal society. I'm a nerd, I go to Stanford University, and that positions me as an athlete to get drafted to the WNBA. These are all things that speak to my heart. And by pursuing them positively and saying yes to these things, it's just manifested into a greater scenario than I ever even envisioned, especially when I was, like, struggling and coming back from my injury. So Kara, the answer
is yes. And destiny does not fulfill itself without the hard work that accompanies it. Like Logan and I were talking before this podcast about what your day to day might be like when you're playing a Sparks game and then you have to go like presto change-o, put a face on, get your wardrobe on, and now you're on ESPN. I mean, it's stunning. Like personally, when students say, I want to be on TV or I want your job, I send them a story. I think it was 360. Somebody did a story on you of like what your day is like. And I was like, please read this. Are you sure you want this? Please read this because this is what it takes. And that's what you're doing.
Honestly, it's just like you don't know what can be done until someone does it, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I just think that like knowing, I've had a real sense of who I am, meaning like I'm not Candace Parker where like literally, you know, her street cred in the hoop world, like literally gives her that credibility. So people don't challenge her when she sits next to Shaq or Kenny or D Wade or, you know what I mean? Like I have a funny last name. People are like, is that girl that was a twin, that African girl that hooped at Stanford? Like, you know what I mean? So it takes people a second to understand who I am and what I've done. And so I think that amounts in me having this like chip on my shoulder, which I know Candace still has a chip on her shoulder because people question women, period. But mine is a little different in the sense that like people see my name, they see me here, they may not recognize me. And I sort of love that because now I'm like, guess what? I'm gonna win you over with my knowledge. Yeah. And then on the back end, people start realizing, oh, she hooped for the Sparks. Oh, she was an all-star. Oh, she went to Stanford. Like, and to me, that's the beautiful thing of like changing people's minds, which is why I literally jumped through hoops. Like playing in a game and running over to Staples is not ideal. I remember like not part of the article was the fact that I was like so delirious, I hadn't eaten post-game or anything that like they have this free agency tracker. Like Rachel Nichols like blows this horn that she cares. And they're like, oh, it's like the Beyonce thing. I was like, okay, on the last one, I'm going to go do my Beyonce moment. That thing is like a fire breather. And so, like, I went over and I, like, nearly, like, killed myself on it. I was like, oh, catch yourself, Chinee. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it just is worth it because I can see people changing their perceptions to women of color, you know, just WNBA, slow and steady just by me trying to work.
When you talk about that and how much you still have a long way to go when it comes to coverage of the WNBA. I talk about maybe ESPN changing the draft from ESPN2 to ESPN. How would you like to see your game be covered?
Shoot, man. I think, honestly, a cool idea would be to have a WNBA team be covered, preferably the Sparks, on Hard Knocks or something like that. Because a lot of people look at the WNBA and they have this idea of what we are, not knowing how hard we grind and how physical our game is and all that stuff. Honestly, I wish we, like, a lot of people say, oh, WNBA, like, why should I join? Like, no, like, people don't care to watch it and all that stuff. But how can you care to watch it when we only get 4% as women of the coverage on sports? Maybe if you cover us more, and I'm speaking to my own like people, maybe if you cover us more, not even four, maybe 14%, maybe 40%. I mean, 40 is a lot, but like we take 14 at this point. We take 24%, right? If you cover us more, you'd be surprised that audiences would resonate. Audiences would relate and our message would resonate differently. That's one. And I think like little nuances in the way we cover things. For instance, like if you see an NBA game that we're trying to hype up and promo, God forbid it be Zion's game, there's like a 1 minute montage about watch this game tonight, Zion, he's so cool, all this stuff. And then the WNBA game that's promoted is literally 5 seconds. It's random headshots that we put up. It's like, oh, by the way, we have this on ESPN too. If a fellow professional sports league, this is what you're doing for a new young up-and-comer in the league, in the NBA. What are we doing to do to help portray that women's basketball is that cool if you allow it to be? Like, those are little tiny things in media that we can invest in, you know, just in the perception realm. And I think the WNBA, we sort of hurt ourselves a little bit in the beginning just because we were trying to explore and expand and try to find ways and sort of manufacture ways for people to care. We realized that, guess what? We just got to be authentic. Mm-hmm. Like, if you meet us, if you see us, you know, hoop and practice, literally the energy we get from people is amazing. Like, one of my favorite things to tell of, like, the NBA players, because they support us. And I'm like, if these guys can support us, why you in your middle school, like, can't even hoop for your team in high school out here shading us when literally if I pull up on your driveway, like, you will have no pull-ups, period. Like, that, I just don't get that. But, like, in actuality, like, it's just fun. I always tell people these like small things that happen that like just sort of make me smile. For instance, I met Donovan Mitchell through Adidas. We did an event together. Then he comes to our game in New York. And then after the game, I went up and dapped him and said, hey, what's good? He's like, yo. I'm like, what? He's like, no, yo. I'm like, what? He's like, yo, you like bad. Like, you physical. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm a post. I'm a banger. Like, I'm not a big, but like, you know, I have to be in the mix with the big. So I'm going to flex on him. He's like, I didn't know you were that tough. You're like, this is dope. Like, this is amazing. I'm like, okay, Donovan. Like, but you see it in person and you can respect that. We played in Vegas. Damian Lillard, one of my homies, comes to the Vegas game. And after the game, I'm so pissed. Like, I'm so mad. I've never been this mad in my life because we played bad. We made a push towards the end. And I didn't play so well, but I played better towards the end. And after the game, I'm just so mad. And I was like, oh. And so I was just here like, man, I'm not cursing because I don't curse, but I'm like doing my version of cursing. And he's just sitting in the chair, like courtside, smiling. And I'm like, what are you smiling about, bro? And he's like, because this is us. You know what I mean? Like, we're all the same. Hoopers are hoopers, whether you play in the W or whether you play in the NBA. I know our styles are different, but you can find an appreciation for the WNBA if you find an appreciation also for the NBA. NBA's fast. They dunk. They do things differently. But in the WNBA, if you can find those nuances in our game, the way we do our step-throughs, our pivots, like, it's just as equally fun if you allow it to be, or at least give the opportunity for audiences to really understand us or see us authentically. But until we get there, I think it's going to be like a slower battle. But the thing that I really enjoy is that we don't care anymore. We're going to do us, and people are slowly, you know, and now it's happening quicker, joining on our side. And I think there's more people now that are with us than people that really shade us, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that you touched on a lot of great subjects on that. But one of the things was how male basketball players are fans of the games. But what do you think it's going to take to where you guys can stand alone? What do you guys need from the viewers to where you can stand alone without a male cosign?
We don't need a male cosign. I think we appreciate their respect. We appreciate their validation, but we don't necessarily need it, because if we needed it, then we wouldn't exist, right? Like, we've operated in a way, like, for so long, our league has felt like we need to leverage these guys to help us to get where we are. But now people are realizing, guess what? We have our own power. Like, our league, if you literally come to a game and see us play, you will fall in love with a WNBA player and their style just as much as you might fall in love with an NBA player and their style. You just have to experience it and give it a try. And so even though these guys, like, we appreciate them coming and supporting us and we do campaigns together, you know, sneaker stuff and all that type of stuff, at the end of the day, we just, we're proud of our league. I mean, literally, there's only 144 people that get to play in the WNBA. It's the most competitive sports league in the world, like, for women, you know, when it comes to basketball. So the reaction of that, or like the product of that, is literally the best basketball product of its kind for women's basketball. That's why when you see the finals are always lit. They always go to game fives. Like, we have to literally go above and beyond. Yeah, we're not going to be able to have there are going to be female versions of Kevin Durant. You ever see Elena Deladon play? You know what I mean? Like, someone that can just rise above and knock down a tough shot. But like, we're in them scouting reports. We're out here doing different schemes. Like, that's basketball. Like, especially when it just originated, like, the technical, the fundamental aspects are all on full display, not just like the brute force or the speed. Like, it's the real tactician's, you know, pleasure, I guess you can say, when it comes to hoop. So, I mean, it's nice to have the guys, but I think our game sort of speaks for itself. And when you see that or listen to it, you know, you end up loving it.
I love it too. Allyship is amazing. When it comes to like the people who support you, whether it's in your basketball career or your broadcasting career, what is the value of having a network of women around you? How do other women help you get through?
So I always tell people, like, in 2016, there was a tremendous moment for just women in history. We almost had our first female president, but in the process of doing that, we had the Women's March, where women were like, guess what? We're coming off the sideline, we're going on the court, we're going on the field, we're right in the mix, right? And so around that same time, you saw U.S. Women's Gymnastics take down a sexual abuser in Larry Nassar. You saw the U.S. Women's Hockey Team fight for one league and also talk that talk, walk that walk, and get the gold in the Winter Olympics. U.S. Women's National Team, when it comes to soccer, shut all games down, bro, like, won the World Cup, but also they're fighting for fair pay, equal pay, and all that type of stuff. U.S., you know, women's national team when it comes to basketball is going for its fifth gold medal. The WNBA just ratified a new CBA. We are all talking to each other. I know. This is what happened since 2016 when women sort of started understanding that their voice is actually powerful. We stopped being competitive, and now we're more collaborative. Yeah. And so now, literally, I'll have an idea for the union, and then we'll have Sue Bird talk to Megan Rapinoe, or like something is a win for U.S. women. Like, even I was on a call, and we're like, the U.S. women's hockey team was like, we were so happy for your CBA, because literally we just have to go, bam, this is what we deserve. So like now it's just really cool because we are all so collective in our fight for more and more investment, because we understand that's literally what we deserve. We work our lives and we give all we have and we sacrifice so much to compete at the highest level. What we deserve is a league that reflects that same standard, or playing principles that reflect that same standard. So it's just amazing to see women rally together, because then it's like almost we feel like unstoppable. We feel like no one can really stop us, because guess what? We're no longer by ourselves in this fight. And I know women in the workplace feel this too. When you have an ally there, whether it's a man or a woman, like literally you feel like you're comfortable enough to be yourself. And I learned this a lot at Stanford. Stop talking about my Bay Area roots and stuff. I learned this a lot at Stanford just because, you know, basketball has always been basketball. Hoops has been hoops. Like, when I was at Stanford, our men's team was good, but, like, we were good. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And so, like, our games would be packed. Our football team would be there. Steve Kerr would come to our games and support us. Same way, like, the Warriors would practice in our practice facilities. Tara would go. And I remember Tara and I went to the Warriors facility and did a motivational talk to a lot of the employees as, like, a part of Women's History Month. Like, basketball hoops in the Bay has always been, like, supporting hoops, period. And so now, you know, moving into different, you know, markets and having that background, that's all that I sort of expect, because that's like the professional standard that I've seen and witnessed and seen to be possible.
Before we get out of here, you touched on it a little bit. What's it going to take to get a WNBA team in the Bay? What's popping?
Man, I think that there's a lot of real – okay, well, let me say this without saying too much and getting myself in trouble. I think that there's a lot of real interest from amazing people that could make it possible. First and foremost, we know the economic realities of our league, and we want to make sure our league is in a viable place to expand. But I think that we will have a lot of partners, and some that are really amazing in the hoop world step up and try to make those type of things happen. I think that Kobe's legacy has inspired a lot of people to carry on in his support of women's hoops. And so now that can manifest into, in a few years, maybe having a team in the Bay. Who knows? But I do think there are people that are really, despite the situation we're in right now and how we're worried about, like, women seizing that momentum, there are going to be people that step up and literally force it to move forward. And I'm excited that we're finally there.
Thank you so much for speaking on the sport and your life. And I feel like I'm inspired listening to you, right? The only way that people can ignore women's voices now is if they are willfully deaf. And your voice is so important. Oh, thank you so much. I'm hyped. I'm ready for the rest of my day. And I know you got to move on to the next thing. But Shanae, thank you so much for joining us on the Run and Plays podcast. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. Sorry for being